What you want? We've got a mighty hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and cast a grin the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
Twitter, MWC Connection. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Chris Andres, who is who ate Taco Bell for breakfast on Saturday. How was that?
It felt about as bad as my evening before. So,
quick question though: was it actual breakfast Taco Bell or like a burrito or taco or chalupa from the night before?
No, it was breakfast. It was breakfast Taco Bell.
So you woke up about 7 or 8 a.m. and got breakfast at Taco Bell.
Yes.
Just making sure, because I know their breakfast is new in some areas. I have yet to try it. Is it – seriously, how is it?
No. I'm telling you – what would you expect Taco Bell for breakfast to be?
Just that? Is it just okay?
It's Taco Bell. If you're a fan of Taco Bell, and I love Taco Bell.
Well, so do I.
You know, you would think it'd be pretty good, except it was abysmal, to say the least.
I'm still bitter they changed the grilled stuff burrito setup, how it used to be a couple years ago.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that was amazing. I still get it from time to time. We'll get to football momentarily, folks, don't worry. But I
basically,
get it from,
Jeremy is just basking in my double loss and the fact that I intentionally ate Taco Bell for breakfast Saturday morning. That's the level of misery I was at.
So let's start with that game, because that's the first game and we go chronological order. I did not see this game live. I ended up watching it early Saturday morning, probably the same time you're eating one of those burrito wraps with the what exactly did you have? Do you know?
I don't want to remove.
No, that's fine. No, I'm kidding. I just see the commercial, the guy struggling, and somebody walks in and has their second hand available because it's like a tortilla wrapped like sausage in a hash brown.
I think I did have a breakfast. You know what? Yes, you're right. I did have a breakfast crunch wrap.
Okay. There you go. Just curious.
Why did I do that to myself?
I don't know. I've debated. I'm like, I like Taco Bell. I like stuff at it, but. All right. So. Do you think that the equipment team jinxed themselves going with the tweet, we're going to wear these white uniforms again because we scored 56 last time we wore them?
No.
No, not at all? Did you think that was bold, though, to make that claim?
No.
Just for fun?
Not out of the usual.
But they normally don't do that. They just say, here's our uniform. There's usually no snark, no nothing to their tweets presenting to the world what they're wearing for that game. It's usually, here's what we're wearing.
Exactly.
So I blame that a little bit. let's here's what the game happened. If you missed the game somehow, basically, Utah State...
Hold on, I got to take this real quick.
Okay, take the call real quick. Oh, man, now what am I going to do? I want to talk about this game with Chris, but he's busy at the moment. Well,
never mind.
Oh, you're back.
Person hung up on me.
Good. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. I was debating. I'm like, I can't talk about this game without you because this is the big deal.
You can totally talk about this game without me.
You probably prefer it.
Oh my gosh, people, stop calling me.
So what I was about to say is that basically Utah State pulled an Air Force against Boise State, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So
exactly like that, actually.
Exactly. So was Jeremy McNichols, because he was game time decision, did not play clearly. If he was healthy, I don't think that would have changed the outcome all that much.
You know, I want to say there would have been more points scored, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Boise State still would have won this game.
Because here's what I saw. Because McNichols has speed. Any outside rushing play was stuffed immediately. Kelsey Young could not get outside, and he was their main runner, 20 for 60. He had 2 touchdowns, but anything outside stopped right away. There was nothing on the edge running the ball.
Exactly. There was nothing. There was nothing there. And I also think that I can't really blame coaching, but I don't understand why coaching was going to the pass so early. You saw when you just punched it down the middle, you were gaining something, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like over, you know, it wasn't overkill. But you're still picking up 2, maybe 3 yards, which makes it a manageable, you know, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. And that's not what they were saying. You were seeing passing on the 1st and 2nd down.
Yeah, the first drive of the game right here, they had that nice punt return by Shane Williams Rhodes. They threw on each play and settled for a field goal. There was no attempt to run the ball. There was that screen pass to Kelsey Young, which was just a -6-yard loss. But looking at their first couple of drives, they did not run the ball until, I must not have paid that close attention. On their third possession was their first run of the game. It was a 3-11 in the first quarter. Devin Demas run for 6 yards. That was their first rushing play, and that was what on their third drive in what 8 plays in? Seven plays back. 6 plays if you get rid of the field goal punt. 6 offensive plays. 7th play was their first run, and then sack strip fumble there by Rocky Alafua. It was I get your point. When they ran, they did reasonably well, but outside was just Kyle Fackrell, Vigil, whoever it was, they could not. Those guys were all over the field. They could not do anything on the edge. Was stopped immediately.
Yeah, I and so here's the other thing. And you know what's interesting is Utah State put up 52 points. Cool. Boise State only put up 26. Now, 8 turnovers was the complete total story of this game, mm-hmm. and that's where Utah State's defense was really, really good.
They finally showed up in this game.
It wasn't just showing up. It was an utter domination. And Utah State, if they hadn't gotten touchdowns every single time, they still would have won the game. I think it would have been something to the extent of – I think it's sort of – let's see. I think it would have been like 27-26 or something like that. But Boise State's defense total only gave up 334 yards.
True.
So it wasn't overly dominating, but it was dominating enough that, okay, you have a short field under 25 yards every single time, especially the last 2 minutes in that first half.
That was nuts.
That was a 21-point swing right there.
And there was a time, like, there was Boise got, like, there's chances, like, there's Boise got a break there. I don't think they ended up scoring, but there's an interception that Brett Rippon, obviously, he was off this night. There was passes thrown behind him. There are some that weren't his fault from tips and Utah State just catching the ball off a bounce. But there was that one interception where
there were at least I was talking with the Obnug Twitter feed. I'm not sure who was controlling it at that night. Mm-hmm. But I think between he and I, we both counted at least 12 drops by the receivers.
Yeah, there are drops. There were, like, the one interception I'm referring to, I rewound to watch, like, four times. I'm like, all right, was the overthrown? It was kind of, it was a quick slant. It was thrown a little high, a little behind. It was one where the Utah State guy tried to pull a Deion Sanders carrying the ball like a loaf of bread. And I think it was Shane Williams Rhodes picked it up off, basically just stripped it on his way down. That was one that wasn't his fault, but they got the ball back. But yeah, at the end of the half, I'm like, when I saw at halftime to what Utah State did, I'm like, I'm not watching this. It's like 9:30 Saturday morning. I'm like, okay, I've seen enough. And I'm glad I did. Second half obviously wasn't as entertaining from what I could tell, at least the amount of plays and turnovers, which makes games either what you can decide sloppy or entertaining, but when there's back and forth like that. But the thing is,
State won the second half 16-7.
Moral victory, take it.
Moral victory. Yeah,
This was just. So what was the deal? Because the offensive line couldn't stop anything. Because this was, by far, the best defense they played. It's better than BYU. Obviously better than Virginia. I still say better than Washington, despite Utah State losing to Washington.
First of all, you're talking about this. Okay, you're talking about a team that had lost 12 in a row. We were talking about this in the preview.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 4 years, their defense, the team has been so much more better, but they were still losing the same way. These guys, these Utah State players, came out absolutely focused, ready to go. And there was some voodoo in Merlin Olsen Field, whatever. It was just the cosmos completely going against Boise State, and they were not going to win this game no matter what. There were drops. There were miscues. There was, the crowd of 20,000. Whatever it was, just Utah State, no matter what, was not going to lose that game.
Well, and Thomas Fairbeck, I could check, but I believe he had 0 yards and 0 receptions in the first half. Wasn't that correct?
Yes.
And I'm looking right now.
Six receptions and yards came in the second half.
Yeah, 6 for 156 when the game well out of hand. I didn't watch, so I don't recall what rotation Matt Wells went with or Kevin Clune in that secondary or any defensive substitutions, which I'm assuming at some point they're at least rotating in some second guys with the game pretty much in hand. But this is a game, like I said, where is this Utah State game? Because it's not. I get the offense looks much better with Kent Myers and Chucky Keaton, but this wasn't Kent Myers was not the reason they won this game at all. He did reasonably well.
Kent Myers was a big reason why they won this game.
Well, short fields help.
Kent Myers ran the offense to perfection what he could. And that being said, Kent Myers was able to get quite a bit of scores.
No, he was.
He put him to Hunter Sharp. Oh, yeah. But at the same time, when they actually had to sustain a drive, they weren't sustaining a drive very well. But that wasn't the story. This story was all about the defense. This story was all about fans just tired of. I'm telling you, give me this game next year. Obviously the game's going to be closer and it's going to be more competitive next year. I'll go ahead and say I think this game is very, very close. If not because of this game, it's going to be a rivalry. And if Utah State, I don't know if Utah State was intentionally on scoring the last minute of the game, but if they had scored the last game and made the 60 burger, oh, you would bet there's going to be blood to pay next year.
Well, they went for it, fourth and goal up to two. They went for it.
Right, but how? Like I said, you've won the game. How much is that an effort? You can't really kneel the ball and get the ball back.
Well, but this is what they're starting running back. I'm looking because I didn't watch the end of the game. They had first and goal at the three, or excuse me, at the four. Lawan Hunt ran the ball four straight times. Your starting running back is in the game when you're at fifth, when you're doubling up the number 21 team, 52-26. You have your starting running back running the ball. That sounds to me they wanted to score and didn't want to kick a field goal because I think a field goal would be more insulting than going for a touchdown at the end of the game. Because you kick, it's like, come on, you're scoring just to score. At least when you're fourth and goal, you're at least running a football play.
Fair enough.
But they should have taken a knee. If they're up, come on, take a knee, Coach Wells. So what do you expect now from Boise State? Because I think this is just like last year. It's an aberration. The sky's not falling. The team's not falling apart. Because remember, Brett Rippon still, he's a true freshman quarterback. And he still played. It wasn't his fault. Like you said, there's drop passes. Offensive line struggled. He still was 50% from the field, 299. No touchdowns, but those three interceptions. Again, there was, I think two of them were not good, and one was just kind of a tip that got to Utah State hand. But what do you expect the rest of the way for them to, like, what's your outlook now?
They got to rebound. They play Wyoming, who's now 1-5. And if they come out paying a 50 burger on Wyoming, then cool. Maybe the Utah State was an outlier, or maybe Utah State's just that good. But if they don't come out rebound, if they act exactly like how BYU typically acts after a bad loss. Oh, wait. No. We're totally still better than everybody else, but we're not going to act like it. If they come out slow next week, then you know what kind of focus. Came back last year after the Air Force loss. What was it? There were 7 turnovers in that game.
Yeah.
How did they come back out? They came back out hard, and they were willing to play hard. Harsin's not going to let this drop.
They shouldn't, no.
So I think they'll be fine.
Are they going to win out?
They should. There's no reason why they shouldn't.
Toughest game, in my opinion, is hosting Air Force. We know New Mexico could give them some trouble.
No, not hosting Air Force anymore, because we're going to get to that game. I don't think hosting Air Force anymore.
What do you mean?
Let's get to other games.
Okay, you know, I'm just saying that's the only tough game I see them maybe having some issues with.
It's not nearly the extent of Utah State. Anyway,
oh, yeah, I get you. Yeah, they're just a tougher team to go up against. Next game, we got rain in Central California somehow Friday night. UNLV Fresno State, the Fighting Tony Sanchezes, cannot kick a field goal because the weather is too bad and lost at the end of the game against Fresno State.
Yeah, so basically, Martise Waller. So fun fact for this game, Martise Waller had 111 yards rushing in this game.
Not bad.
38 of those came on that touchdown for Fresno State to take the lead. Utah State was basically...
UNLV.
Sorry, not Utah State. UNLV had shut down Waller. They hadn't shut down really anybody else, but they had shut down Waller. But they give up a big run to Waller, and that's 31-28 right there. Once again, UNLV had this whole game in control up to that point. So then they have to go make a game-winning drive. Kurt Palandek, how about a 39-yard run from scrimmage, that first play?
There you go.
Then they're running, you know, to Xavier Campbell. They run Keith Whiteley. You know, third and long, and all of a sudden, just rain pours. When you're in that kind of situation when just the rain just drenches, you can't throw the ball. You can't kick the ball.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few options. So, like, literally, and I was only semi-joking when I tweeted it out from the blog that the rain gods were smiling upon Fresno, because that's literally what happens. When you have something like that, and this is football, we don't cancel a game.
Unless
we just keep on playing. You know, it's not Major League Baseball where, guys, we have to go to rain delay. There was no storm. It was just rain, and that, I mean, that pretty much sealed the win right there.
Well, also, there's because rain... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Because hypothetically, and Palandek was 12 for 24 on the night. He was he had hit the 50%, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks. And but it was UNLV's rush game. If that hadn't happened and Palandek's well aware he's got to throw the ball, that rain doesn't happen. It makes it a little easier to throw the ball. It makes it a little bit easier to make easy slant routes. He was only averaging 4.6 yards attempt that night. So basically double that for completion, right? You get those slant yards. You get an easy field goal range to make a chip shot, to which and having Nikolai Bortnan, who did fairly well, or you can risk going to Devontae Boyd, who, you know, didn't have a great game in terms of receptions. He had 2 receptions, but those were 43 yards. That's a 20-yard reception. You get in within the red zone, you target Boyd.
Yep. Because even Yeah, the weather is a huge. That's just terrible. That's just tough. There's rain a lot of games out west. But even if, let's just say, the weather was fine, I'm looking at that last play. They're at the 35-yard line, or excuse me, the 32-yard line.
Which is within Bordenand's range.
You think it is a 49-yarder on the road? Is they would kick that?
He made a 50-something yarder last year. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying that would still be a. I still wouldn't fault them for going forward when it's fourth and two.
No, yeah,
or
no.
Fourth and six.
No, I get that, but I'm just telling you that the decision becomes easier when it's not just absolute downfall.
Of course. Oh yeah. Look what happened in. Well, there's a lot of games, but look at the end of the Michigan State game. I don't think there's rain. That game, 10 seconds left, just punt it. We're going to win. Can't hold the snap. And then, bam, touchdown. Stuff happens. Special teams is weird, and there's no reason. Nothing would have gotten right if they tried a field goal at 49 yards in a downpour and win. There's no reason to do that. So I don't think anybody called that being a wrong decision, but you're in a tough spot, man. When it's weather like that, you got to just get them to like the 10-yard line and hope and maybe and be comfortable with the 30-yarder. And even then, that would still be risky in that type, the way the weather was.
Yeah.
But how much blame do you put on the UNLV defense? They're up big, gave up two touchdowns in the final quarter.
It's, I'm going to tell you, it's bad. It's bad is what it is. It's UNLV having another case of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. This is the second straight week. Last week against San Jose State, this week against Fresno State. And that's part of what tells me that Sanchez has this team going in the right direction, but they can't finish it.
Yeah. That's still fine because they're not getting beat. They're playing competitive, and that's a good sign for them because we've said a lot, like they're getting beat out by a lot, they're not showing up in games, they're fighting until the end. Look, they played well versus UCLA. They played well versus Northern Illinois. They played pretty good versus Michigan. They've played – that's all it is. It's just pretty good. They're not exceptional at anything at the moment. And, like, their last couple offensive drives, they went three and out. They had a seven-play drive where they – was it? Had to punt. They had to punt when they got almost to midfield. The fourth quarter, you can't bail the defense. But here's, like, some of their drives. After that last touchdown they had, that was a – three-play 30-yard drive. They went three plays and punted, and then end the game, seven plays didn't punt, and then another three plays and punt. They had too many three and outs in that second half. And that's the story of the game right there. And Fresno gets their first win, an FBS first conference win. So the drive for 4-8 still alive for some predictions we had. Is this... Because we talked a lot of UNLV. Is this finally Kilton Anderson's team? Do we know if this is going to be the official quarterback for the Fresno State Fighting Bulldogs?
Oh, this better be Kilton Anderson's team. This better be Kilton Anderson's team. He handled the team. And you know what? He was inspiring his teammates on the side. It wasn't that he was, you know, when you're a leader of the team, even if you aren't, You show your veteranship, you show your, not expertise, but you show your leadership skills by being. He was there on that fourth down stop greeting his teammates, basically celebrating that they're going to win. And he was one of the first ones out there. So you tell me.
He better be. Switching around, it's a mess. They can't – I don't care who it is. Stick with one guy. And looking what he did, like he, yeah, 19-31 for 193. It's nothing spectacular, but he was spreading the ball out to everybody. Chad Olson, Jameer Jordan, Damari Scott. He had what, nine guys involved? Nine guys caught a pass. And so he's spreading it out. Marquis Waller showed up.
Which is very Boise State like.
Yeah, if you want to be good, if you don't put up the yards, spread it to everybody. Then they can't focus on one guy. So congrats to Fresno State, and they are now 2-5, and the West is a mess, as it has been all year.
Continuously. But yeah. Is it?
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Next Saturday, or excuse me, the following day, Saturday, we had four games Saturday. We had the two on Friday. Air Force at Colorado State. Colorado State gets their first conference win, winning 38-23 over Air Force. A little bit surprising in this game. I thought Air Force was the better team after Colorado State got blown up by Boise and then so many close losses. I didn't know how they'd handle a team that's...
They got blown out by Utah State. I mean,
oh, and Utah State, yes, correct.
We got the question on Twitter. How good is Air Force? Oh, we got that question very much answered tonight.
Exactly.
And
it goes to their running game. They don't have a running back. Like I remember, we talked in the preview for this game. We said, who knows? It could be Jacoby Owens. It could be Shane Daver, and it could be Brenton Washington. Carson Roberts is not a running quarterback, at least by better Air Force quarterbacks of the past. He led the team in rushing with 79 yards, and for some reason, he ran it 24 times. That I don't get that. I don't understand why he ran that many times when he's not a running quarterback. And the next guy was Ben Washington with 9 carries. Jacoby Owens had 8. Shane DeVern had 6. That's... Air Force is not going to win if Roberts has to run the ball that many times.
No, exactly.
And for those who say Nick Stevens is done, he's not done. He's going to be a very good quarterback. So Coleman Key fans, take a step back a little bit. I never understood that too much, really.
I didn't either. So anyway, you know, how good is Air Force? They're not great.
They're 3-3.
Colorado State, we have no clue.
Very true. Yeah, they, like you said, they got blown out by the two best teams in the conference. They struggled versus Colorado and Minnesota. They lost in overtime, and they, what was the other game they lost in overtime? Oh, no, that was Colorado, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Minnesota, yeah, they're, yeah, I don't know. They're.
So basically, though, but basically what we can say is this. This conference is Boise State and Utah State, and that's it. And are you, really, right now, it's Utah State.
Are you figuring you're discounting the fighting Donald Pumphreys?
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Anything we need to add?
Me that we'll get there. Now I'm telling you we'll get there.
Okay, we'll get there. Anything else you want to add to this game? Who's the third best team in the Mountain Division? Is it Colorado State?
In the division?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be Colorado State at this point.
Just because they beat Colorado Air Force?
Yeah, pretty much.
Logic?
It's New Mexico.
Not really. I don't know. The Rams could be good, but I don't... Those couple losses they had in overtime were just... I don't get it. But there's not a ton to say about this game. Rams, look, they got their offense on track. Air Force needs to find a running back. And...
Bobo ran the dang ball.
Yeah, they got a good duo. Jason Oden Jr., Dalen Dawkins, 26 for about 140. 2 touchdowns between the two. Good enough. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting when whatever bowl game they go to. But because the way the division's playing out, shoot, I just backtracked on what I was doing. We'll talk standings later. We'll do our midseason show and discuss all that stuff. We don't need to worry about that now. Next game, Wyoming. What?
You know what was funny is in the preview show, I almost called this. I said that Nevada was not going to cover the spread. You thought it was crazy. You're like, nah, Nevada's going to win big. Everybody thought Nevada was going to bring big. I said, nah, Wyoming's offense is starting to click. Their defense just needs to shut down. Hey, guess what? Defense shut down.
Yeah, it happened. And like we said, like people said in the comments, Wyoming's offense is pretty can be pretty dang good. And
how about Cameron Kaufman, 18 for 20?
Yeah, I still noticed that. He was
15 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 picks. Brian Hill doing Brian Hill's thing.
That's the thing. The main issue with their offense was Cameron Kaufman throwing interception. He's kind of let up on that. But it's probably, it is too little too late for them to make any, besides playing spoiler again, some extra wins down the road just for confidence reasons for next year's team. Because they're sitting at 1-6. Their defense is just so young. And if they have Kaufman next year, this could be a dangerous team. But they still have Brian Hill back next year. I believe Tanner Is Tanner Gentry Jr. at the moment?
I believe so. I could double check that.
We'll have to look that up. I'm trying to get into my stats here, but...
Got it. He's a junior.
Okay, so he'll probably back, even though he's now Blitnikoff midseason, or he was added, what, 2 weeks ago. Defense will get better. They'll need to find a quarterback, whoever it may be, but I figured, because in the West Division, I'm like, okay, I was thinking, I'm still, well, actually, we'll get to the Aztecs. I'm thinking Aztecs are probably the team. Nevada's shown some fight. They're pretty good, but then you lose to Wyoming. It's like, what gives? This whole conference is upside down and backwards, but not just because Boise losing, but just overall, it's just kind of...
And basically, Nevada has lost now to Wyoming and UNLV.
Does that make you happy?
Just throwing that out there. Oh, it makes me very happy. But just throwing that out there.
Just saying.
Oh, by the way, they play Hawaii this week.
Uh-oh. What's the location of that contest?
I want to say it's at Hawaii.
That. I don't know. Nevada, I'm trying to pull up some stuff
there,
here.
It's home. It's in Reno.
So they're going to win?
Yeah. We presume.
We presume a lot of things for this conference. So let's hear it here. Okay.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been podcasting for 5 years. We have run this site for 7 years. If anything, there's just a firm confirmation that after 7 years, we still have no clue what the hell is going on in this conference.
We thought Boise State was number one, but they stumbled this year. So they could still win the Mountain Division, obviously, but it's weird. Maybe one of these... Yeah,
we'll get to somebody.
Twice, yeah.
Twice.
Here's what our Nevada dude, one of our Nevada guys, Brandon D. Blake... When Nevada, this is more of an inside question for us. With Nevada losing to Wyoming, can we ban the Wolfpack from the power poll for like the next 3 weeks?
No, but we can rank them 12.
We can't. Yes, Brandon, we can rank them 12 if you'd like. Who would you put last now since Wyoming won? Is it Hawaii?
Oh, no. Nevada.
Oh, you're going to go. Okay. I'm just
actually, no, probably Hawaii.
Probably Hawaii. So. Good job, Wyoming. What else is about this game is there to say besides Nevada just choking? It's all making fun of Nevada right now. I don't really care numbers or anything. It's just sorry, Nevada. Congrats to Wyoming. You won.
Hey, Hassan Henderson is doing well.
I called that, didn't I? That he should have a big game?
I mean, he didn't have a huge game. 8 receptions for 112 yards, but it was significant.
Not enough.
You know what I don't understand is how Nevada passed for 287 yards and still lost the game. You know why? Because they didn't use the pistol effectively. They only rushed for 118 yards.
That's an issue. I was going to say, how did he pass that many yards? It must have been something going on. And that is the weak spot of that Wyoming defense, so they did the right thing. But they need Don Jackson, James Butler to run the ball and mix it up. And because Wyoming... Didn't they play Washington State pretty close despite them putting up a lot of yards in the air?
Yes.
But got to run the ball. You got it.
They did not play Eastern Michigan very close.
They did not. Oh, that's right. Congrats to Wyoming. See you next
year.
I don't know.
The Mountain West champion, Eastern Michigan.
All right, let's move on to the next game here. Nevada couldn't do whatever. It was that second quarter, really, when they got outscored 21-7. Okay, tell me if you've ever heard these words uttered before in your life. New Mexico has a game-winning touchdown pass.
Not in a very, very, very long time.
Did you happen to see that highlight, the final play?
I did not, no.
Do me a favor while I'm talking about the game. Go to our website and find the final play and watch it real quick.
All right. Are you going to talk?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the game. Here,
I don't have headphones in, so you guys might actually be hearing noise.
That's fine. Whatever. So the starting quarterback, it was not Austin.
Apodaca,
thank you. The game winner was to Damian Gamblin for 28-yard touchdown to go up 28-27. They made the extra point to win by the single point. Just, Chris, we'll talk about the play in a moment, so we'll get to that. But this game, It's Hawaii, New Mexico. Okay, here's Chris with the play. Just watch it and tell me what you see.
Are you kidding me? Jeez, he got rocked on that play.
And the guy almost fell down at the 5-yard line.
Oh my goodness.
Took a hit.
Just got and he almost got and the guy almost like went down at like the 5-yard line.
Yeah, the Damian Gamblin had to put his hand down to stumble into the end zone. He got leveled. That is a 80-yard drive for the Lobos there. And Carlos Wiggins, hey, Carlos Wiggins citing a 100-yard kick return for a touchdown.
Where have we seen that before?
Yeah, he was special teams. Wasn't he 2 years ago special teams player of the year, I think, in a conference?
Well, it wasn't just that, but I think he had a couple 100-yard. He had 100-yard return last year versus Boise State.
Oh, he's quite good. So people who don't know him, they should know him. But this is a game like it was back and forth. Hawaii had this game in hand, up 24-14 at halftime. And did you also notice? I kind of watched this game a little bit online. I tried to, but when I left, I couldn't stream it because I live in the Root Sports area, which kind of sucks when I want to stream one of those games. But did you see the chip shot that Hawaii missed to go up by 9 points?
No,
they missed a 20.
I'm not going to say that I took a day off from football yesterday, but
that's fine. You could say that.
I sort of did.
But 22-yard field goal, you missed that? It's like, come on.
Yeah, chip shot. I think the biggest thing that I take away from this game is New Mexico, quote-unquote, only rushed for 197 yards.
That's not very much for them.
They passed for 195.
Ooh.
Lamar Jordan, 9 for 16. Austin Apodaca, 6 for 10.
I should look in to see if there's going to be any – I don't think there's an injury at all. I should look into it and see because Apodaca had that game-winning drive, 80-yard drive to win the game. They had a balanced attack. No Max Wittick. You got Ike Woosley there for Hawaii. Paul Harris. Hey, Paul Harris sighting. He did actually pretty good. And Steven Lakalaka showed up in this game, but – Sorry, Hawaii. Your second half was poor form.
Yep.
Did you you want to talk bowl scenarios with New Mexico? Buy your tickets now, fans.
So in order to make a bowl, they have to win one of the two of the next five games.
Yeah,
which is at San Jose State, at home versus Utah State.
No.
At Boise State.
Probably not.
At home versus Colorado State.
Probably not.
At home versus Air Force?
Probably not. A lot of probably nots there.
Quite a bit.
I don't see it. Do you?
I don't. I want to say that they can beat San Jose State next week. I want to say that they can pull off at least one upset. But. Oh, my goodness.
You're talking to Mexico, man. Come on.
We are talking to Mexico, and that's what's terrifying.
It'll be interesting. I don't know. They might. I wouldn't – because they're playing better. If they're throwing the ball a little bit, they can make things interesting. And also, don't forget, last year versus Boise State, they nearly pulled off that upset. But that was at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm betting unfortunately, it's back. They'll be 5-7, which is still a marked improvement over years past.
Yeah, absolutely.
5-7. It's good, but I don't think they're making two bowl games. So, final game. We're flying by tonight, man. Flying by with six games.
Yep. Wow. Did you notice that New Mexico is wearing their retro uniform? Retro decals for homecoming yesterday?
I didn't really know. I watched part of it. I didn't really pay too much attention. I see it now on the ESPN Twitter feed, what they do there, but I didn't pay too close attention. I should have. Second half, I couldn't really watch too much, or I couldn't watch at all just because I couldn't stream the game. But or how do they look? Because I'm trying to pull them up here. Do you like them? Yay or nay for another game?
They're pretty awesome.
Okay. Was there also, wait, did we find a Bob Davie locker room dance yet? Has that been posted around? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, final game. Well, we'll see. I did post the Mike Bobo dance. Did you see that? That was he's getting down after that victory. All right, final game. This game was supposed to be close. Supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Should have been, right?
Yeah.
So,
Ohio State's defense is back.
They did get back. I should look up the name, but they got back one of their key linebackers who was out for the first half of the year. Like, they lost a couple offensive linemen. If you back up to the key linebacker, I should look it up to see who it was. But, yeah, their defense, Tyler Irvin, who we thought could be the MVP of the conference, still small possibility, he was pretty much shut down.
Yeah, absolutely.
How is this possible? Because I don't trust anybody in the West, but look what the Aztecs did. Donald Pumphrey, I guess he's fully healthy. And hit a multiple touchdown game last night, over 100 yards again.
Somehow San Diego State is undefeated in the conference play.
They played only West teams, right? That's it, only West teams?
They beat Fresno 21-7. That was before Kilton Anderson started.
Mm-hmm.
They escaped Hawaii 28-14. And then tonight was their most dominating performance. But see, now you're playing. Now you're going to have games versus Utah State, Sandy, Colorado.
Next week.
And I'll even say they're Wyoming can be tough.
Hell,
even UNLV could possibly be tough. Just because we know what UNLV has the potential to do before they lose.
They're not good. Well, before they lose. They're showing they're not giving up. They're not rolling over. It won't be – I don't care who you are. Even if you are San Diego State, I don't care. Nobody in the West I trust all that much. I still was leaning Aztecs in this game overall and – to win the West Division, but I still do more now because I thought Spartans were the only threat. But now, it's their division to lose, and they looked pretty good last night.
Right. Donnell Pumphrey, 152 yards rushing. He had he was actually the lead receiver, too. Receptions for 55 yards.
And a reception touchdown.
Three of Maxwell Smith's 10 completions.
10.
And 55 of his yards. So remember, that's 30% of his attempts or 30% of his completions and almost a little over a third of the yards completed were to Donnell Pumphrey. This is literally Donnell Pumphrey's offense.
Yeah, they're finally realizing, but they're making sure Maxwell Smith only has to throw the ball maybe a dozen times a game.
Yeah.
Because their running back is probably – their running depth is the best in conference, I think.
Absolutely. Sorry, San Jose State, but while you still have the potential to win the conference and let's see.
They have two conference losses already, though.
One to Air Force, the other one to San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
Were San Diego State to pick up two losses or three losses and San Jose State were to win, remember that one San Jose State would still have the lead, not just head-to-head, but also have the lead because less division losses. At this point in time, though, San Jose State has two conference losses. Nevada has two conference losses. UNLV has two conference losses. Fresno State has three. Hawaii has three. The only person who I literally would say has zero chance of winning the West now is Hawaii.
I'm putting all my money in San Diego State winning the conference or winning the division.
Oh, absolutely. No. And you tweeted this out yesterday under the blog Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's extremely likely that San Diego State, but they're not going to go through unscathed.
No, because I can see them losing. Because here's the thing: the West could be a mess again. They could lose next week to Utah State and also to Colorado State the week after. They could be sitting at 3-2 in conference play before a bye week. So if they lose both those games, it's back to they still need another loss, which Wyoming at UNLV hosting Nevada doesn't seem all that likely, but I can see them losing these next two games and making the West an interesting race the last month of the season.
Yeah, and that's probably what's going to happen. Realistically.
You think you would take the Rams at home over the Aztecs right now? Or just a possibility?
We have to see how the game against Utah State plays out, but I'd say it's extremely possible.
I think that'll be a pretty good game, but it's got, like I said, it's Aztecs and anybody else, but are we going to say, I know we're going to do our midseason show in a couple days, so we don't need to spend more than a minute or two on this, but is it probably Utah State, San Diego State title game?
No, like it was back in 2012?
That was Fresno State, Utah State.
Sorry.
But I think that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah, that's probably.
Because who does Utah State have the rest of the way? We can check on that super quick if we want to. They already beat their toughest team. They already beat the two toughest teams in the Mountain Division. They still have to play.
Excuse me, New Mexico is sitting third in the division right now.
fine. Say New Mexico's up there. I'm just saying Air Force, Boise State, and CSU were up higher. But fine,
quite literally, catastrophe could theoretically strike for the Aggies, where they lose to San Diego State, and then they lose another game, and all of a sudden Boise State's back in the driver's seat again, and that's what happened last year.
And I'm not saying it's out of the question, because while I say Utah State win over Aztecs is probably where I'd be leaning, because Utah State's run defense will probably slow down Pumphrey enough. But they have a couple road games that are tough. At San Diego State, at New Mexico, just because their unique offense causes anybody troubles. But I think the passing game, if Hunter Sharp keeps improving, that'll be a win. At Air Force is never easy. And Nevada, Nevada's not a bad team by any stretch, but let's just say they're somewhat unpredictable, in my opinion, of what they can or cannot do.
By the way, the spread's already open for this game this week.
Ooh,
Friday night, ESPN 2.
Oh, Friday game.
It's a 7.5 favorite.
Wait, I didn't hear what you said. Let me take a quick guess. I heard you say Utah State's favored. Did you say 5.5?
I said 7.5.
Ooh, interesting. Has it moved at all, or is it stuck at 7.5 so far?
So it opened at 7.5. Vegas Insider's consensus is at 5.5. And when Las Vegas has actually moved it down to 5.
I think it'll be about 6 points by the time it settles in and by Tuesday.
I wonder if I should go to the game.
You should, man. You're right there. We can see if we can get you in for free. Do you want me to look into that for you?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll go with Matt Bain.
You can do that. Let me know. I'll put in a credential request for you, see if they'll let us in. They let us into UNLV, so I thank Mark for that. We got in last week.
Oh, come on.
What?
No, I'm just...
You never asked You never asked last year to go to the... You stopped getting...
Well, yeah, because we had guys covered.
Yeah,
remember, I'm the specialty guy here.
I get you. No, you're like, hey, you're like, I'm seeing upset. Like, you never asked to go to the games, really. So I'm like, well, okay.
I didn't, because I like going as fan. As a fan of the game, if I have no emotional vested interest, because let me tell you right here, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing more difficult than covering a game that you have an emotional interest in, because you have to keep those emotions in check completely.
Yeah, I get that. The few Utah games I've been to working, I definitely get your point. But when I Utah games, I go on the sidelines, and you can kind of blend in a little bit and do a little bit more than the press box. But majority of the games I've covered have either been you and me at the Mountain West title game basketball, or me at BYU games where I'm like, yeah, whatever. Come on. It's BYU. I'd be cheering the opposite side for most of those games when they're playing Boise State or maybe Utah when Utah beat them a couple years ago. But I get your point. If you're like that, I know guys who struggle with it, so they go to the sidelines or watching the concourse a little bit so they can still do their post-game obligations, but during the game they can kind of be a bit more into it when they're not in the press box. But they're still working either the sideline or other stuff. So it is more fun. It's more fun. We can yell and cheer and have awesome times. Like, I would struggle. I'm watching, if I were to be at any Utah games this year, I would struggle because they're doing quite well. And that last night game versus Arizona State was pretty intense for most of the game because the offense was terrible for part of the night and couldn't do anything. So it is more fun. Plus, you can tailgate more if you're a fan, right?
Exactly.
Check out some good food. You can hang out, chat with people. So I think that's what we got for tonight. We are going to do – so let's just discuss this now really quick before we wrap it up. We're going to do a preview / midseason show. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay, so we might go 80 minutes maybe? We'll see.
Probably.
What we're going to do, just because I'm going to make the decision now, we're going to do what we did last year. We're going to put a poll on the website.
Last 2 or 3 years.
Well, probably for the last while, but it's going to be, if you have suggestions, put them in the comments of this article. Maybe I'll do something on Twitter, but I'm going to do a bunch of categories, pretty much up to myself. I may go to our group chat with everybody, but we're going to do what? Offensive player of the year, MVP, defense, surprise, stuff like that. Coach of the year. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Five or six categories. So look for that. We'll vote. We'll chat about it on the show next week. But one last question I missed. Chris Turner asked, am I a better coach than Norm Chow?
I do not know.
You can't answer that objectively?
I cannot answer that objectively.
Chris, we need your resume of coaching experience, but right now I'll put you at a 30% to Norm Chow's 70% as a head coach. He doesn't specify what level, so he could have been a head coach of some Pee Wee football team and done very well. He doesn't specify college head coach, so I'm going to say that route, going that way. But that's what we got for tonight. So we had I'll just say it was a crazy weekend of football, good games. Sorry if your team did not win. Sorry, I apologize for your double whammy, triple whammy, UNLV, Boise State, and then was it $2.39 Taco Bell breakfast you said on Twitter?
That was the killer. That was the killer on my stomach. That was what really, did me in.
Oh, man. All right. So that's what we got for tonight. Check us out at mwcconnection.com. Listen to the show.
Now we're going to pick up a Taco Bell sponsorship.
I hope so. Buy some Bombas socks. Go to Mountain West bombas.com/Mountain West for 20% off socks.
I want socks.
Hey, I'll get you socks. Christmas present coming to you for socks. Me for you, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Colin, it's official since it's on the show now. I'll get you some socks. check us out. iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, give us a comment. We've been getting comments in the articles itself. Go to iTunes and leave a comment there. Go to Stitcher and leave a comment as well. Subscribe. That would help us out to maybe spread the word because apparently some people like us, I guess. They'll tolerate us. Is that the better way to put it?
Are you looking at the iTunes reviews or are you talking about just in general?
Just in general. People tolerate us, right?
Something like that.
I guess so. So, yeah, thanks for hopping on tonight.
Our more comments on the podcast this year.
Say that one more time. You kind of broke up there.
I appreciate the fact that there have been more comments on our articles that have the podcasts on there. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. Thank you very much. Those of you who pay attention and talk because the conversations and like the little bickering stuff that we do on the side, it's actually quite fun.
It is fun. And I apologize for saying last week somebody called me out. I must have looked at the wrong box score or something. Tyler Winston did play 2 weeks ago. I don't know why I said he did it.
Tyler Irvin.
No, Tyler Winston.
Oh, Tyler Winston. Sorry.
I thought he did not play 2 weeks ago, but he did. I must have not looked at the right box score or whatever, but that's our show. I'll quit rambling. Again, mwcconnection.com. We'll have our midseason show this week and then preview week 8 because we're halfway through the season. It's sad, but
hey, I don't have to call Al Borges an excellent offensive coordinator. That's the best part.
Wait, whoa. Oh, that's right. Yeah, no more. You don't have to say gorgeous Al Borges. Hey, even
that
if
just depressed a whole bunch of San Jose State fans.
But wait. It's not all because San Jose State lost. Boise State lost as well, so they played a part. They helped your own team helped you out from not having to call him Gorgeous Al Borges.
My own team?
Yeah, Boise State lost because we said if San Jose State beats Boise State in the title game.
No. That was if San Jose State beat San Diego State. No, you have to look back at the comments.
You kept saying
commenter that... Sparta rises. Commenter Sparta rises. This is literally what he said. A weekend of some great football will be at the homecoming game between SJSU and SDSU. Spartans need Austin Lopez to kick the ball for touchbacks and hit his field goals. Tyler Irvin to go off on the defense to stuff the box, make the Aztecs throw against our superior secondary. When that happens, the Spartans will win by 7, and Chris will call Gorgeous Al Borges an excellent OC.
So
I do not have to do that.
I was saying on the podcast, you kept saying, no, I'm not going to call it that. I'm like, what if San Jose State wins? And you're like, probably not. So I'm going off of my comments. I saw that as well. So you can thank Brian Harsin for helping you not have to say that too.
You're a bad person.
I apologize. And we'll also discuss if a team from the conference will be able to backslide into a New Year's Six-Day bowl game. Sorry, spoiler answer is probably no at the moment, but we'll chat about that at our midseason show. Finally, we're officially wrapping up the show here. We'll see you next time for a preview week 8 and look back to midseason. So everybody have a good one, and we'll see you next time.